Good day, everyone. This is Matt with the Cup of Freedom. Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. Today is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in Him. I've got my cup of coffee. It's a bold, strong cup this morning. I hope you're doing well and enjoying a cup of whatever you are drinking on this day. And that's what we do here on this podcast. We celebrate the freedom that we already have in Jesus Christ. The Son has set us free. We are free indeed. And we drink some really good coffee. So coffee and Jesus, Jesus and coffee. I hope you're doing well. Thank you for joining us today. I just wanted to share for a few minutes. First of all, before I share that, we are excited. We are celebrating the 1 year anniversary of the release of our first devotional, Free Indeed, a 31-day Freedom in Christ journey. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, I'll leave a link in the description. It's just 31 days. Each day is about a 5 to 10 minute read. There's a few questions there to reflect on, maybe a place to write some notes and to journal. Just all about what are our freedom, what are the truths of our freedom that we already have in Jesus, and being able to take that day by day and really just rest and soak in the freedom that's already ours through Jesus Christ. So if you want to check that out, we'd really appreciate it. Leave us a review on Amazon. That would be a great way of just encouraging us. So thank you for considering that. So I've been talking about living from Christ as our source, this idea of source, right? And so we think in a lot of ways that we can change our life or change, if we just focus enough on the behavior or trying to get the behavior fixed, that our life will change or that it will actually work. The reality is, according to Christ, what must change or what must be different is looking to a different source, which is Christ as our source, which changes everything, right? And so we can't really change our behavior long term by just trying to focus on the behavior and changing it. We've got to go to the source and go to a different source and examine what we're actually believing. So I've been sharing this with some guys I've been ministering to recently, is that we cannot behave our way out of an addiction. And I tried to do that for 20 years. I tried to behave my way out, try to tell me all the things that I'm supposed to do. Give me the plan. Give me the tips. Give me the tools. And some of those tools and tips were really great, and some worked. But long-term transformation didn't happen because I was focused so much on not sinning, staying away from all the wrong things, and trying to do all the right things. And it was so behavior focused. I became a professional behavior manager, lust manager, with dealing with pornography, and it just didn't work. So I tried to outbehave my addiction. So I've been telling, I've just been sharing with guys, you can't outbehave your addiction. You must believe your way out. It's through faith. God works by faith in our lives. And so believing, which means trusting in a different source. I'm not going to trust in myself now to get my way out, to dig my way out of this hole. I need to trust in something greater, because my ability to get it done and my commitment and my whatever is just not going to be there. It's going to be waning. There are going to be times where I just don't feel committed enough. So can I rely on a different source in that time? That's the growth. That's the maturity, is realizing this is not about you trying to behave your way out or even becoming more committed or trying harder or any of that, but ultimately trusting in a different source. And that changes everything, Christ being your source already. But when we look to an outside source to change, when we already have the source, the capital S source lives in us, we're looking to another way to make changes in our lives when God says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so He is already your source. So I've just found this to be so crucial. Obviously, it's challenging to get there because we think that we can do this. We think at some point, just tell me what to do. Give me all the steps. Give me all the tips. And if I just am committed enough, if I just do it enough, I just try enough, then I'll be able to kind of dig my way out of this hole that I put myself in. And it just doesn't work. In fact, oftentimes, and even Scripture backs this up, the more we focus on the flesh or trying not to sin, the more sin gets inflamed in our lives. And so what would that look like then for us to be able to focus on a different source? And this coming by faith, what if God today, and maybe this would be a question to write down, what if God today was not asking you to do something, but to believe something? What if God was asking you to believe something about who you are, about who He is? And out of that belief, trusting in a different source, and God renewing your mind to the truth, then transformation happens. Then change happens. It's always an inside-out transformation. We think it's the outside in. That's how the world operates. Just do this, do this, do this, and you'll have change, right? And so God works internally in our lives to reveal, what are we actually looking to for transformation? Are we looking to our ability to get it done? Or are we looking ultimately to God, God's ability to get it done? And why is this so hard? I think a lot of reasons why this is so hard is because I mentioned one already. We think that we can do it if we're just told the right steps or the right thing. And there's nothing wrong with tools and resources that can be helpful. Absolutely, they can be definite freedom tools that can help us, you know, along the way, that can be very beneficial. But the greatest tool, the greatest resource, the greatest source is Christ and drinking from Him. Drinking, what does that mean? What does that look like? That is the game changer. And then out of that, yeah, you may use some tools and some resources that are beneficial to you. But ultimately, what am I trusting in for my transformation? My ability to get it done or God's ability, which He's already gotten it done, right? So, but I think a lot of times the reason why this is challenging and this is hard is because we've gotten used to, in some ways, we say we want change, but not necessarily the case, because freedom is scary in some ways. Freedom is scary. I say I want this change. I say I want this behavior to be fixed or whatever, but it's going to require something different of me. It's going to require me to live a different way. And oftentimes I think we all would maybe say we want to be free, but not everyone really wants to be free. And why is that? Because we have to let go of all those anchors, all those strongholds, all our security, whatever visible means of support or any of that. Those things that we've depended on, think about that. What are those things you've depended on to get life, to get by in life? We've got to look at that, because those have become our security. Those have become what we've depended on for getting our needs met. And so we have to let go of that. We have to let go of life as we know it in order to, you know, live in this freedom. We've got the freedom. Jesus is already our freedom. But to experience this freedom, we've got to let go of other sources of dependency, of security, of any of that. And most of the time, just in my own experience, as I experience this as well, we're not willing to do this. We're not willing to do this really until we're convinced that life doesn't work our way. So if I can just change my behavior, if I can just until we're convinced that we really can't do it, that we really can't outbehave this struggle or this addiction or this fleshly behavior, until we're convinced of that, we're going to keep trying. We're going to go to another plan, another book, another counselor, another whatever. Just tell me what to do. And this didn't work over here, but I'm going to go over here. We're going to double down because we're still not convinced that our ability to do it isn't going to work. Does that make sense? So many people become comfortable then in our chains. Interesting, right? We become comfortable in our chains. We become comfortable in what we're depending on. And we say we want change, but ultimately it's going to require something of us. We want someone else or something else to do it for us, but it's going to require the hard work in this is for us to actually be willing to look to another source, to be willing to deal with this. And we want it to be from other people or other things to do this for us. And so we have to be willing. We become comfortable in our chains, I think, and content with chaos. Maybe you are familiar with that. Maybe you live with someone who their whole life is chaos. It's just chaos. And it's almost like they don't know any other way to live. Or maybe you've experienced some of that, especially if you're dealing with addiction. Like, life is just chaos. And we become, what's the word? We just become used to it. It's what we know. Chaos, confusion. So the struggle with addiction just becomes it's almost like it becomes our normal. And so to live in this freedom now is a new normal, but we're not used to that. We're not used to it, and because it's new. And so the prison door is open. I've said this many times, the prison door is open, but to walk out of the prison means you got to live a new way of life. Because when you were in prison, you were given all your meals, 3 meals a day. You were taken care of. You were told what to do. Now you got to go out and live in freedom. Now you got to go live it, and you got to live a different way. You can't live the way you lived when you were in prison. And so we become comfortable in this, I think, and And we become comfortable more with the chaos and the confusion than we do with the freedom. So we got to learn how to live in this newness. We've got to learn how, and this all happens by faith, by taking those steps of faith and then trusting God along the journey. And so this really, it's just, I think the greatest fear then that, right, and all of that is now, okay, I want to experience this freedom, but it's the fear of the unknown. And so what is this going to require of me? What am I going to have to kind of do to experience this freedom? And that fear of the unknown keeps us stuck, keeps us crippled, because we want something else to do it for us. And it's going to require us to look to a different source, and yet we may not be willing to do that. We're not convinced that we can't do this yet. And so I often hear from a lot of people who are like, just, you know, tell me what to do, Matt. And yet at the end of the day, when I kind of tell them what this journey is going to be, that's not really about what they're doing, but it's about what God has done and who they already are, and trusting that and getting to know that and growing and maturing in the truth of God's acceptance of them, of how free they are. A lot of people don't contact me back because it's like they just want to be told what to do. They want to be told, they think they can still outbehave the addiction. And until we get to that place, and I think it often comes through the realization of that, that we can't really get it done. And then there's this place, I think, of desperation that comes in. And I've talked a little bit about this, but we got to get to a place where, like, all of our plans, all of our whatever, all of our ways, all of our whatever, just has to go in the toilet, if you will. It's like, I just can't figure this out. I've tried for 20 years to try to overcome this pornography addiction. I've tried everything I can think of, from accountability partners to blockers to getting rid of internet to whatever that is. And then at the end of the day, it's like none of it really worked long term. So there's got to be this desperation, I think, of this, which is a willingness to give up on self-sufficiency, trying to figure it out, trying to get, you know, go to your own resources, your own, anything that you can do to get it done, and go to another source. Am I willing to do that? And I contend most people are not. God can obviously lead us to that, to invite us to that, but desperation doesn't always lead us to God. Sometimes desperation leads us to doubling down, like I said, and trying to, you know, go another way, or just eventually resolve to the fact that we're going to give up. And this isn't going to work, so maybe nothing's going to work, so I'm always going to just have to either eventually give in to this addiction or spend the rest of my life trying not to give in. And so then out of that desperation, then I think what the invitation then is, now I'm going to go to another source. There's becomes this deep desire that can develop in us. It's already there, but maybe it's been stifled for so long. There's been a blockage there. But there's this deep desire to walk with God. It's not just about getting rid of a behavior now. It's not about quitting a behavior, but it's this deep desire to know God, to go to God as my source, to know that He's already met all my needs, that I've got everything I need in Christ, that He's already blessed me with every spiritual blessing, that I'm already free, that this is, you know, when people ask me what I do, I talk to, you know, obviously, yes, I do talk to guys that struggle with addiction, but the main thing I do is to try to encourage them to engage with God, that this is a spiritual journey, to talk with God about this. This is the journey you're on. This is not about quitting a behavior. This is about engaging in God and this deep desire of stirring that up in them to realize that's the answer. That's the solution. That's the source that you're looking for. And that's what I do. That's how I minister to guys. And sure, we can talk about the behavior and all that, but long-term behavior change doesn't happen until we're going to a different source. And so then I think at the third part of that then is, now that I have this deep desire to walk with God, then it's now I'm putting my dependence on Christ alone. On Christ alone. Not in what you're doing, not in what somebody else is trying to tell you, not in even a counselor or a coach or whatever, because the subtle deception is that people tend to believe that Christ in them, the hope of glory, which Colossians 1:27 says is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've got Christ in you, brother and sister in Christ. The subtle deception, the subtle lie is that Christ is not enough, that this addiction or this behavior is bigger than God. And that if I'm just told what to do, I can overcome. Guess what? In Christ, you're already an overcomer. You've already overcome. That if I just outdo this behavior, then I'll be free. Well, guess what? Brother and sister in Christ, you're already free. You are already free. Now, what does that mean? Now I want to experience that freedom. That's different, yes. But you're already free. That's who you are. And so Christ in you, is that that's the subtle deception. I bought into it hook, line, and sinker and believe that if I was just told the right things to do, I'll be able to do it. And at the end of the day, what that really says is Christ is not enough. Christ is not enough. So it's up to me. It's up to me. And let me let you in on a little secret. It's not up to you because you've already tried it and you can't get it done. It draws us into this deeper awareness, I believe. It invites us into this deeper awareness that we can't get it done. And the second part of that is then I need to turn to another source. Because if I can't get it done, am I going to go to somebody else or something or try to double down or go to this? Or eventually, can it take me to the source, the supreme source, which is Christ? You know, there's this great example. I'm going to kind of end with this. There's this great example of Jesus' interaction to this paralyzed man in John chapter 5. This man's there. He says he has no one to help him into the pool when the water is stirred, right? He's paralyzed. He's trying to get in. Someone else goes down ahead of him. So he's using the excuses, right? And so Jesus doesn't answer the question to start off with, if you want to look at that in John chapter 5. But he you know, this man starts making excuses, right? So he's depending on, here's what this man, let's acknowledge the fact he's paralyzed. That's hard, right? So, but he has to depend on people to get him down there. He's depending on others, which is not a good way to depend on things. Depend on others to come through for him. He has no one to help him to the pool, right? When the water stirs. So, unfortunately, this is the way it is with us. We, we're depending on other sources to help us, to give us life instead of the source, right? So now, and then the second part of that is most of us, he's looking for that special zap. He just wants that special zap. I talk to guys all the time and they're dealing with addiction and they just want it to go away just like that, a snap of a finger or in a few days or a few weeks or a few months. And yet if they've been dealing with an addiction for years and years and years, that special snap, that magic pill isn't going to happen. It just isn't. It's just not going to go. You just can't snap your finger and make that happen. But that's what most people are doing. They just want to be rid of the problem, right? Just fix the behavior, right? And so but here Jesus overlooks all this, right? He's interacting with this man and he heals the man anyway. And so it's really powerful because he in the initial part of that is he asks him, what do you want me to do for you? Do you want to get well? I mean, it seemed like kind of a strange question that he would ask him that, right? I mean, it seems kind of insensitive, but yet, and he knew this man, Jesus knew that this man had been paralyzed for decades. Why would he ask him that question? But if Jesus asked the question, we probably can believe it was a good question, right? Because here's the bottom line. Jesus knew that if this man was healed, he was going to have to live a different way. He wasn't going to be able to depend on these people to come through for him. He was going to have to depend on a different source. He was going to have to live a different way. He was going to have to go to a different, a different source. And so, it's such a powerful example of us is that. Right, is that if we're gonna come out of the prison door, if we're gonna want that behavior change, we've got to live a different way. We've got to trust a different source, and not everybody gets there. But that's the invitation. The invitation is to realize: do I want to be healed? Do I want to change in my behavior? Then I can't try to outbehave that. I can't try to depend on another source or depend on others or depend on tips and tricks and tools. I'm invited to depend on the greatest source of dependence, which is Christ in me. That is your hope. That is your hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. That is your hope in you, of glory, Christ in you. So what would that look like for you today? What would that look like for you to let go of all these other sources, little s sources of dependency, to change, to make change in your life, and to trust Christ as your supreme source? And I kind of listed three little things that, you know, this desperation of giving up on your own resources and ways of getting life apart from God. And the second is this deep desire to to trust God, to walk with God, to experience all that he has for you. He wants you to know how free you are, right? And then the third is just this dependence. Now I've got to give up. True freedom, really spiritual freedom, is letting go of dependence on anything and everything else outside of Christ and placing full dependence on Christ alone. That's a challenging place to get, because most of life we've looked to other sources to get our needs met, to, you know, whatever that may be. And even to get out of addiction, we've looked to other sources outside of Christ. And this addiction, whatever you're struggling with, whatever, doesn't have to be pornography, whatever you're struggling with, is Christ not enough? Is the blood of Jesus not enough? And we may be able to say, well, yeah, well, I read that. He is, but we're not experiencing that, right? What's the gap between that? Well, again, God works by faith in our lives. We may not feel that right now or be acting like that or even believe that to be true. But take that to God and ask him to reveal what you've looked to for dependency on this change that you're looking for. And then allow him to reveal himself as your source, because he already is. You've got the living water in you, Christ in you. That is your hope. So I would encourage you to go through some of those questions. Really engage God with that, because this is the journey you're on. The freedom journey is a spiritual journey of trusting God, walking with God, this deep relational aspect with God. That is what you most want. You may not always think that. You think you want all these circumstances to change and all these behaviors to change, but what you most want is this deep walk and intimacy with Christ. That's what you most want. It is. It may get stifled at times. There may be blockages. Circumstances are hard. Don't deny the reality of hard circumstances. Acknowledge them. At the end of the day, what source are you going to go to? What source are you going to go to for healing and freedom and peace? Because you've already got healing and freedom and peace in Jesus. And now you're invited to live from that, to walk from that, to have faith in that versus another source. So I hope this has encouraged you today. Please reach out to us if you'd like to get one-on-one coaching. Reach out to me. There's an email there. And we can refer you to the coaching that I do with another ministry. And then also, if you'd like to give a gift to Freedom for You, which is the ministry that I continue to operate. Mostly we're doing that through written resources now and through the podcast. You can give through our Patreon account, which is linked in the description. Also, check out our devotional, which I mentioned earlier. And I have my first book that I wrote a few years ago called The Love of the Father, Enjoying Jesus Every Day. So if you'd like to check out any of those, leave us a review on Apple Podcast or anything that you're listening to. That would also encourage us as well. And as we say here on this podcast, come as you are and find freedom. We'll talk to you next time.